Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Oh, we're rolling. Action. Is that how we start it now?
You're the starting.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Mark and Heidi the D'Amelios. I'm Mark.
And I'm Heidi.
That's a lot again.
How are you, Mark?
I'm great, Heidi. How are you?
I'm great.
So a lot of things have been happening in our lives, all fun stuff.
Lots of good things.
So I think we wanted to talk about family closeness. Like, I think a lot of people have said, so a couple of things I've heard. I've heard one is that.
In regarding to what?
Us. In regarding.
And the show coming out and all that?
No, just, yes, a little bit. I read something today. I think it was a tweet that someone said, our whole brand is being normal. Like being.
Just I love that.
Transparent.
Hey, we're winning if that's it, because that's all we feel like we are.
And I just think it's the fact that, like, I do think it has to do with the fact that this wasn't planned. Mm-hmm. And we don't even know how to show any side of us. And we just are kind of going through these things. And yes, we have a publicist and all that stuff, but we don't really, we kind of just go
with our gut.
With our gut. And I don't think it's a master plan. I just think we go through these things, and I think that's why people like it, because it's almost like they're imagining, like, oh, this is what it would be like if my family went
through
this.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're not over the top with, and we do kind of take it all in stride, and we do understand how ridiculously silly but also lucky we are, and we're just kind of going through this thing wide-eyed and like, oh wow, we're here, we're there. And I hope that, I don't think you and I will change, because I think being the age that we are, we're mm-hmm. set in our ways, but I hope the girls don't change too.
I feel like, I don't know, when you have something like in the whirlwind of, this is just an example of Dixie going to the Met Gala, and you see the videos of her on the carpet and all this stuff. But the backside of it was like the day of getting ready. And she was like, you know, chowing down on a steak and French fries and FaceTiming her friend from high school and like being just a kid or a 20-year-old and like all the normal things. She stubbed her toe. Like, just like, it was nothing glamorous about it. And that's, I feel like, you know, saying for you to say, I hope they don't change. It's like, they are still so much of who they always were. There's just this other side to it. Like, then she gets this, you know, Valentino takes her and transforms her into this unbelievable vision on the carpet, and it's like she can be that too. And I think everybody has different sides of them that, you know, I don't know. It was just cool to see. It was just funny to see. And in fact, when I was sitting there when she was getting ready, I was kind of like, if people could just see this part of it, because it was kind of funny and just her being her, like she's still herself. And I think that's kind of all we know how to be.
Yeah, I think that's what I hear all the time in meetings that we go, that I'm either with Dixie or Charlie or you. We hear after we had the meeting, like, wow, they're so grounded. And it's, I don't think we're trying to be grounded. Like, I don't think that's our plan. Like, people, I mean, what do they expect us to be? It's still, you're still living your same life as your mm-hmm. same, as the same people we are together as us four. And I wouldn't know any other way. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not protective and I don't go through the business side and some of the other things that I think could be a little bit scarier as it relates to Hollywood with my eyes wide open. But I do think, yeah, when it reminded me, Dixie getting ready at the Met Gala, although you were there all day, it's almost like reminded me of her getting ready for a prom or for something so normal. And you don't really, I think we kind of just block out the magnitude of some of these things and just kind of focus on just the basic normal stuff. Like she's getting ready to go to an event. As she's done before.
And it really, it didn't hit her till right before, she said. I wasn't with her when she was in the car, but she was like, she literally felt the weight of it and how massive it was and how much of an honor it is to be invited. And like all of that came like flooding in. And she was, from what people that were in the car were saying, was like, whoa. So we do, you know, although it's like, it doesn't even seem real, so she's not nervous all day. But then obviously it hit her at the end, right before she got on. But yeah, it is like a lot of, I think if we were, if any one of us were chasing this, and this is like, we have it, we got to keep it, we got to be this way, like it would just happened. And yeah, like, so I think because of that is why it seems like we're just kind of, people, I know I get this a lot. How are you guys normal? We're normal because we got, this happened to us just being normal. So I feel like it's just more of that.
Yeah, I think we definitely don't have any conversations about our image, or if anything, we want people to see more of our normal life, because I think that is, I think our normal life is positive, and I think they don't get to see a lot of, especially with the show that came out, they don't get to see us goofing around as much. And I hope people get to see that side of us, because we deal with the same problems that a lot of other people deal with. We have happiness, sadness, heartache, all the things that everyone deals with, but we also have an abundance of fun, and we always have. So I think that's kind of the first thing. And I think we've always been a very close-knit family, and I think this has brought us even more close than we've ever been.
Yeah, I feel like the amount of time we spend with the girls is not normal for their ages, and it's almost like they'll be going somewhere and they'll ask us, like, are you guys gonna be there? Because they want us to be there. And I'm like, oh, do you want us not to go or whatever? They're like, no, I wanted to make sure you were coming, it'll be so much fun. Like, yeah, sometimes even their friends will like FaceTime us and be like, are you guys coming tonight? I'm like, no, we're just hanging at home. Like, can you guys come? It's so much fun when you come. I'm like, what? Like, just random, a dinner or whatever. So it's kind of funny, but
I know when we go, normally I only feel comfortable going with you, and like I missed Bryant's birthday party because you weren't there, and I didn't want to go with you. And the girls were, Charlie FaceTimed me from his party like, Dad, why aren't you here?
Yeah, she thought you were going.
And I was like,
yeah, they were disappointed.
I know. And then we went to Chase's album release party the other night. And I honestly have so much fun with all, they're not kids, they're, most of them are young men, but they're all just so much fun.
I think they're surprised that, even them, that you're normal, and you're like, but you're normal, like you're a normal dad, but also, you know, like, I don't know, I think just the business you're in, like, and you're savvy with, and kind of in touch with what's going on, like, pop culture and I don't know, just everything like that. Just the, I don't know. I feel so. When they say something, like, you actually know what they're talking about, and you'll like add into that conversation. They're like, wait, what? How do you?
Yeah, it's a tough balance, because you don't want to be the parent. Like, I never want to be the parent that's trying to be cool, but I also don't want to be the dad that's out of touch and is like, oh, that's for my kids, and I have my own thing going on. And I think I've always tried to balance that out with not embarrassing my daughters or overshadowing them in any way, but also staying in tune to what they're doing. And I think we do a good job. You do a great job with that balance also. I think you're definitely a mom. I think the girls respect you, and I don't think you've ever done anything that makes them, oh my God, my mom's on social media. So just, it's cool. Why do you think we're so close as a family, just us four?
The four of us? Are you talking before all this stuff happened with us, or like before like the
overall
following,
just
or
either or? You start with whatever one you feel comfortable with.
So I think one thing I'm just actually thinking of this right now, but that made us so close is the nature of what the girls were involved in as far as like sports, dance, whatever. Like when Dixie was doing BMX, it wasn't like, okay, she went to school, she stayed after school, she had practice, and she came home. This was like, we had to travel. There were no tracks near us. The closest one was probably 45 minutes. And then on the weekends, we traveled all over the country. So because of that, we were always together. And then Charlie, with competition dance, a lot of traveling. So we would go, and you're in hotel, and you know. So I feel like that, because of the nature of that, we were close. And then we made friends, like in BMX, the other families became like, so it was like their family and our family. We go to dinners and whatever. And the same thing with dance. So I feel like that plays a little bit of that. And in those moments, you know, with Dixie, with BMX, and like, Dad, come with me to get my motos. Like, not depending on you, but like, it's fun. Let's go get my motos. Yeah, she was young. But, and then for Charlie with me, like, understanding, I was a competition dancer. So I get, you know, okay, I have a quick change, blah, blah, blah. You know, obviously her studio would take care of everything backstage, but she knew, like, she could text me, like, you know, I ripped my toenail off during whatever dance. I need a Band-Aid or whatever, you know, so I'm, like, right there. I don't know. I feel like that played a big part in it. Us kind of leaning on each other to kind of, because you're not at home. You're not, like, you don't have the school nurse there or whatever. I don't know. I feel like that plays a big part in it. And then now I do think they had that base. And then now with all this that has happened, although we do work together a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, I think just with so many people that aren't coming into our lives, the girls' lives, they realized really quickly that they don't know everyone's intention. So they really lean on us. And I feel like we've gained their trust of guiding them. And so they get that. And they're like, let me just ask my mom and dad because I don't know. You know, and so they'll reach out and like, what do you think about this? They often call us or, you know, come over or whatever, Charlie's home, and ask, I want to get your opinion on this. I love that. I love that because I think they know we're going to be honest. We're not going to blow smoke up, you know, and we're going to tell them what we feel, whether they like it or not. We're not going to just tell them something to make them feel good. And they'll either agree or disagree, but I think they know they're in their gut that we're going to always steer them in the right direction and we always have their back. I think that's why we're kind of as close as we are.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, part of it is having parents that were divorced. My mom, I could depend on her, but she worked a lot. So she wasn't always there because she was just, not that she wasn't there. She just, when she was working,
physically,
she couldn't physically be there. And then my dad lived in, you know, most of the time, 60 miles away. So I always wanted to have this, although my family was very close, I always wanted to have this close-knit family with a wife and kids and be involved in things that my dad wasn't involved in. So that was early on. So I think there was definitely a part of me that made an effort to be close and to create a close-knit family. But as the girls got older, their personalities started to develop, even at a young age, where I actually enjoy being with them. Like, people don't understand how funny Charlie is and how funny Dixie is and how much they, I think because Charlie's introverted, she doesn't express that as much as she does in the privacy of her own home. And Dixie's hilarious. Like, so I love hanging out with him, almost to the point where Dixie sometimes will be at our house. She's like, all right, I'm going to go. And I'm like, wait, no, where are you going? Don't go.
Like,
come on.
Yeah. We'll be in like the midst of like a funny conversation. She's like, I got to go. No.
Yeah. I think that was a good point. We definitely early on did things as a group. And I think also what you were great at is you would say, we said early on, like, our kids are coming into our life, which means we're going to take care of them and do all the right things, but we're not going to give up our lives, and our whole identity was going to be our children. And with that, they would come out to dinner with us. Mm-hmm. We would do things often together. And I think that's part of, but that was definitely you, like, where a lot of parents opt to get a babysitter or, mm-hmm. hey, we're just going to have parents' night out. We had most of the stuff that we would do either during the day, mm-hmm. on Saturdays and Sundays or weekday nights. We always did things together. And I think they got used to us going out
being together.
And being together.
The funny thing was, so where we lived, there was a lot of kids, like a little group of kids in the neighborhood, but they were all staggered in age. And they would, because our kids were the younger ones, they would come to our house. Because they were little. I don't know. I didn't want them going to people's houses, and I don't know. So they would come to our house and hang out, and I was fine with that. That way the kids knew I was there, you know, and then, but all the other kids were so great with them. And then it got to a point where some of the older girls who were like middle school, high school, like, can I be, like the girls would ask, hey, can she babysit us tonight? It was, I mean, this is a dream, right? You always take them. It's, you know, and it wasn't easy when they were little, you know, they're little, they get, you know, can be chaotic at dinner, but it was like, it wasn't an option. They were coming. Then when they got old enough and they were like, wait, can so-and-so babysit me tonight? And the kid was in it. And I'm like, well, let them ask their mom. And they would say, their mom would say, okay. And I'm like, okay. So all of a sudden we were asked if they, but your kids are asking, can we have a babysitter? This would be so much fun. So we'd set them up and they do, you know, let's get a pizza or whatever and do all the things. And so I don't know, it's this thing as a mom, and I know not everybody, but I know I hear a lot of moms say this, is like you're feeling guilty when you leave them behind, and it was just the best case scenario. It was you and I got to go out and have fun, have dinner, or go do whatever, and they were having a blast. They asked for it. So it's not like we were leaving them, don't leave us. So it was like really, really nice, and it just happened naturally. So I think that was like a great kind of transition to them kind of like doing less with us, but not all the time.
No, you know what? And then I think about how you say this all the time, that early on, Charlie and I were,
oh my gosh,
we're super close. Actually, we were always all really close. I think Dixie and Charlie probably had their times, as siblings do, that they bicker and argue. But there was a time that Charlie and I were attached at the hip. And then I think when
she called me Heidi for a really long time.
Yes.
It was like, Charlie and Mark are over there and Heidi is over in the corner. Like, don't bother us. I'm like, when did this happen?
Yeah. But then as soon as she started, I was more involved on the bicycle, BMX, for anyone who doesn't know, it stands for bicycle motocross. And it's like bicycle racing. And that's what I did as a kid. So Dixie and I and the whole family bonded with that. And then Charlie and I just used to hang out. I think Charlie used to like to go get, even at a young age, I would take her to get coffee and I'd get her a donut and we'd ride around. But then when she started to get into dance, because you were a dancer, I think you guys bonded, and then we all kind of, but through all that time,
it was kind of always interchanging.
Yes.
Like, you know, there would be things where like, we're going to, you know, I remember we got some appliance. So we had a big box. So we didn't see them for like 3 days because they were decorating it and doing the whole thing. And then like, then they're like, you know, Dixie would be like, Dad, can we go to the Apple store or whatever, you know, and there would be Mom, can you take me to, there were certain things they like, they knew I'd be totally into going, like a trip to Michael's to get arts and crafts or whatever.
But as I think about it now, there was very rarely, aside from, I know I just said Charlie and I would go to Dunkin' Donuts.
We were always together.
That was just like a 10-minute thing. But even when you guys would go to Michael's,
yeah,
or something.
You were like, I want to go.
I definitely wanted to go.
And then the whole, what was it? Calligraphy situation where you and Charlie were going to be calligraphy artists for 5 minutes. So you bought all the supplies.
Yeah, we've done that all. We've done that a lot. I actually, yeah, we've definitely get on these ideas, yeah, and we want to do something.
And then you hype each other up about it. Oh yeah, and this will be cool. Let's get all this 20 pack of colors. Oh yeah, let's get those. And then let's get these giant papers. Like, that stuff is still sitting.
So you don't think we're good?
I mean, it lasted a good 3 days. I give it 3 days.
It's hard to do calligraphy.
I know, it's really hard. Shout out to all people who can write in calligraphy. Yes. It is very hard. It's about the angle of
John
the pen.
To John Hancock.
Yeah, and all his homies.
That's tough.
Yeah.
What do you think it takes to be close in a family? Like, is it more just natural, or do you think you have to work at it?
I think, you know, all that being said about us doing things together, all of us, it wasn't like, okay, we're going to create a close-knit family by doing all of these things.
Right.
Doing all of those things together was just like, that's how I grew up. Like, I don't know. We just were always together. So that's all I knew. You kind of do what you know. And I knew it felt good. I knew it was great to be around my family. I knew I didn't want to be left with a babysitter. I knew I had friends that had babysitters. And that would make my stomach hurt thinking about it because I was like super shy and just wanted to be with my mom and dad. So I just did that. But I guess if you're making conscious efforts, I don't know. I think it's a fine balance between giving them space. But I don't know. I think having fun is a part of it that kind of, because life gets in the way and it's hectic and we got to get here and we got to get to practice and school and then this and that. Like the fun element, I don't know. It keeps them wanting to come back and like, oh yeah, remember when we did this? It was so much fun. Or thinking outside of the box and making a mess in the kitchen, baking a cake or doing all of the things. Like, you know, if they have an idea, even when they were little, like, and then you would be like, okay, yeah, let's go to Home Depot and we're going to do this and that and it'll be fun and cool. And they get excited about it. I don't know. I think bonding over random things sometimes is how you kind of build that closeness.
I think I experienced the loss of friends at a young age, a few of my close friends. And I think that gave me, and then when my grandmother passed, it gave me an appreciation for life and how short it is, and that people that like, and I know it sounds so cliche, but that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I definitely live life to its fullest. And sometimes I beat myself up when I get in a rut or I'm just like, I let the day slip away from me and with something in my head. And that's why I try to teach the girls all the time, because they're, for them, they get negativity and beat up often. And I try to let them know that you forget about those times, mm-hmm, and you remember the fun times. And I know I did make an effort to always have fun. And the times that I didn't, I'm like, I'm just so, I get disappointed in myself when I let the normal stuff get in the way of, just having a good time and appreciating everything. I think you've noticed that with me.
You're so great about that. And you've taught me a lot, because it's my nature to be more like routine and do all the things and like, okay, we got to get this done. We got to do this, make sure. And not leaving time to like throw it all out the window and just have a good time and appreciate your life right now. And you've pushed me, not pushed me, but by example, show me how important that is, and like to have those fun moments where you just like throw the schedule out the window. Let's just have fun. I think something for me that was hard, and I've definitely gotten better with, is I almost got like those like middle school years, right? So because we were close, they would tell me a lot of things and I would get too invested. And I think that was a big mistake and a regret I have. Middle school is hard. So you want them to come to you. I should have been just more of a listening board and more of like building them up than trying to help them navigate with this person and that person. I think that was not good as a parent for me. And I've learned a lot from that. And I let them come to me and we talk about it, but I don't go down that roller coaster of this person said this and this and that and this, and they said this. And I just try to, okay, well, what you can't control other people. So how can I help you get through this time? And how can I help you grow through this moment? Because getting on that roller coaster with them, because middle school years is a roller coaster, was not good for them or for me as a parent. And, you know, once I realized that and through my mistakes, then I never did it again. I'm also very good at, like, when I realize something positive or negative that I want to change in my life, I do it immediately. Like, I don't ponder it and this and that. I'm like, immediate change. And so I think they know that. And when I learn, and even now, sometimes they'll tell me, you know, Mom, whatever. I'm like, wow, I didn't realize that. And I make a change. I'm not perfect. And sometimes I slip up, but I do immediately, like, I got it. And I'm going to move forward differently. So
I think back to how we've learned to parent and understand that your experience and your kids' experience are different, and you can't always, like, even if I gave them advice, I remember vividly what middle school was like, what high school was like. But my experience during that time, if I gave them advice, would be to, as I was navigating, I can't, they're in their own position.
Yeah,
but what I will tell them and what I do agree with is that overall, for the majority of people, life is incredible and it gets better. And I think people, I read something that when I said to Dixie in the show, I promise you it will get better. Mm-hmm. All that meant is that we have these times in our lives that seem devastating, and they are at the time, but overall life is really good. And when you look at, when you go back and look at those times, where I look at my times of middle school, I'm sure there was tons of heartbreak and times I was really scared, and in high school, but I've been able to look at those times now and be like, wow, high school was awesome. Mm-hmm. College was awesome. My first job was awesome, but that's not reality. It was not 100% awesome. But I think if you look back, you will think that, you won't focus on the negative. At least I don't. And this experience, when Dixie was in the room and she was distraught about the Vogue video, when I said to her, it's going to get better, I just meant that she's going to look back at this and the whole body of work of this time in her life is going to be looked upon as being positive.
Yeah. And fast forward, Vogue invited her to the Met. And
yes.
So, well, that aged gracefully. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the fact that we've learned how to navigate parenting, I think, has helped bring us closer. And I also think we, to the girls, admit when we make mistakes.
Yeah.
And they know that we're human and we do our best to do what's right. But
yeah, because, I mean, when they make mistakes and we, and this kind of has always been the way, is it's always up for a conversation, no matter how big the mistake was. Just come to us. Let's talk it through. And, you know, that's how you grow. But the same goes for us with them. And they know that. So they come, you know, although they come to us with their own stuff, they come to us with stuff that they're like, you know, or we realize that, you know what, I could have handled that differently. And so it's a nice.
And what I would say to the kids out there is let your parents know every once in a while when they're doing a good job. I mean, Charlie came to us the other day and was just like, hey, I just want you guys to know I appreciate all you do for me. And I think, you know, we say this all the time, There's no playbook to be a parent, and most parents do the best that they can. And I think as they're trying to get closer to you, I think it will do you a service in your relationship with your parents if you just give them appreciation.
A little bit.
A little something. Good job, Mom. Good job, Dad.
Because I think kids think that parents are so different. Like they're still human beings. And I guarantee you they've cried more tears about you and their love for you than you'd ever know. So you're probably a lot more alike than different.
That is an interesting topic just because when you grow up, you all of a sudden have this life where you're in control. Yes, you may have a boss, you may have a job, but for the most part, you make all these decisions in your life. And having a child is so hard because you take your heart and you yeah. put it in the hands of someone whose brain's not fully developed, and they're just making all these decisions. And it's the hardest thing, especially for someone like me who's definitely likes to be in control, not of other people, just of my own life. Like mm-hmm. I don't like to be out of control of my own life. And when you have kids, you are totally out of control of your own life because you can be ready to do something fun with your wife on a Friday night and all of a sudden your kid they're not doing well. And now you're not doing well. It's the only thing like that.
You feel it. Like, it hurts your
and
heart.
Marriage is like that to an extent, but you can have a conversation with an adult and work through mm-hmm. it and figure it out. It's no one tells you that. That's the mm-hmm. one thing about I would tell people that are going to have a child is get ready to be out of control of your own emotions in your own heart, and you'll get your heart broken left and right, and not purposely, just right. feeling their pain as they go mm-hmm. through it is heart-wrenching for a parent.
Yeah, and it doesn't get easier as they get older.
It doesn't, and you keep at some point, I'm sure it will get less and less, but we're mm-hmm. still, you never stop parenting.
Yeah.
I think even, my mom, who looks at me as being done a good job, she'll still say, be careful or don't right. forget this. Or, mm-hmm.
I think the parenting just looks a little bit different. It's more like, and I've said this before, it's more like consulting because Dixie's 20. She lives on her own. She makes her own money. She pays her own bills. So I can't really go to her and say, listen, I need you to get up and make your bed every morning by 8:00. She's going to be like, okay, crazy lady, get out of my apartment. What are you talking about? So I can't parent in that way. But, we can have a conversation about, if she comes to me and is like, I just can't get on a routine. I would say, something that I've done was I try to get up at the same time every day and make it a routine. And then the rest of your day will follow. That's consulting, in my opinion. It's different than parenting and saying, like, I need you to do this. Like,
how
it just
doesn't
work.
How many times do you think it takes to tell Dixie or Charlie something before it becomes a habit?
How many times? Oh, my gosh. Like,
probably 100.
Right? At least.
At least.
They're getting... No, it still takes 100, but they'll finally do it. And then they're like, whoa, you were right. Why didn't I do this before? I'm like, seriously?
Do you know how many times, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but I will a little bit. How many times we've been in meetings with executives, presidents
yes.
of companies.
I know exactly.
And they say something.
The girls.
And the girls look at me and like, my dad says that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but yeah, it doesn't.
But I'm not the only one.
Yeah, there was something the other day and we were in a meeting and this guy said word for word and Charlie looked at me and was like, looked at her in a way of like,
I told you so.
I told you.
Yeah. Wait, that's great. But also when we're in meetings and you hear our girls, we hear our kids say things that we've said to them 100 times.
Yes.
And they're like saying it as if
As if they, it was their idea.
Yeah.
Like,
Yes, but like we're you and I are looking at each other like, wait, they really were listening after those 100
like
times.
Like Dixie's like,
that.
You know, I get up at 8 a.m. every
yeah,
day.
No, she's
I think
not
consistency
saying.
Is the...
Well, we're not there yet, but other things, yeah. And it's just interesting to hear them, us, things that we say come out of their mouths and really like truly feel that way and believe it because they just history, like it. Consistency and all of that, it just does kind of work out, but pretty funny.
So what do you think the formula is? Let's sum this whole thing up. The formula for
oh, yeah, there is not
family.
Enough not enough podcast time in the world for that.
Okay.
I feel like just when you think you got it figured out from the day they're born, the second you feel like you got it figured out, it changes. You feel like, oh, I got this. Then the teeth come in. And then you feel like I got this. And now they're trying to walk and falling and bumping heads. It's just like constant.
All right. I'm going to sum it up. Ready?
Go.
Okay. Well, you obviously need love. So mm-hmm. that's obvious. Okay. I think you need to be supportive, mm-hmm. but not overbearing.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I think you need to be there to listen,
mm-hmm.
right? I think you need to lead by example. And I think you need to have fun and appreciate life. And I think your kids will appreciate life also. And don't sweat the small things.
Love that.
How about you?
I would say, yes, I agree with all of that. I do feel like kids need parents. I love the girls obviously more than anything. I love hanging out with them. I think they're cool people and they have a lot to say and we have great conversations, but they have friends. And I as much as we hang out and do a lot of things together, we're still their parents. Like there's respect. And the respect goes both ways. I respect them as my kids and they respect us as their parents, but you know, again, if they come to us with something, we're going to tell them the truth. We're not if we were their friend, we'd be like, "Oh yeah, no, that's cool. You should totally do that." No, you shouldn't do that because having life experience, I know this. Anyway, so I think that's like super important. And I think just to what we were saying before about remember yourself at their age. You just want to like have fun. And I mean, obviously you have to do all the things you have to do in your kid life, go to school and do all the stuff. But like to have your parent want to have just fun, no agenda, no anything. I think that will take you a long way in your wow. in your family relationships.
Those are words of wisdom. And this is not only good. Hopefully some people get something out of this, but we're just kind of talking
yeah.
and freestyling and having a little bit of a conversation, which in my head, I think is going to help me
yeah.
be a better parent and a better husband. And
I agree for myself also.
Cool. Well, this is really fun, Hyde. Thanks for spending this time with me. I appreciate you joining my show. Thank you. You've been my special
thank you.
Guest for
thank you so much for
many
having
episodes.
Me. I'm the recurring guest in this show. Thank you so
I've
much.
Asked other people. No one wants to come.
Aww,
so it's just me and you, lady.
I'm fine with it.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Mark and Heidi, the other D'Amelios. I'm Mark. You can follow me at Mark D'Amelio on various social platforms.
And I'm at Heidi D'Amelio if you want to follow me on any socials. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Mark and Heidi, the other D'Amelios, comes to you from Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio.
You can listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.